For those of you that have your Bibles, we'd like to go to St. John, the first chapter, and I'm just going to quote the 17th verse for you. There are some of you that are going through things in your walk with God right now that you don't fully understand why you're going through it. And I believe the teaching here today is going to enlighten you on these things, encourage you, bring a great amount of hope, and the other thing is bring some power. Listen to me. Bring some power into your life. Do you know that you are not supposed to walk your walk with God without power? And when I say power, what is power? The Holy Ghost is power. But grace is power also. It's the power of God unto salvation. And we're going to talk about these things. In St. John, the first chapter and the 17th verse, it says, "For the law came by Moses, but grace and truth by Jesus Christ." So Moses brought the law, grace and truth, you got to have them both together, and I'll show you why, comes by Jesus Christ. Just a quick review on some of our teachings in, past years. When you look at the difference between the law and grace, they both have a very distinct purpose ordained of God. The law was given that the whole world might be found guilty before God. By the law is the knowledge of sin. So the law does its work. And the law, according to Romans 7 and 14, Paul said, "And we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin." So the problem, as we talked about the week before last, is not in the law. The law is good if a man uses it lawfully. But the law is weak through the flesh. So if you walk in the Spirit, the law, you actually will fulfill the law. And we've talked about this before. I think it merited to bring it back up here again today. When you talk about a law, law is subject to interpretation. Even in this physical realm, we have different court levels where you can escalate your case or your thoughts on the law. You got municipal court, you got superior court, and what is our highest court? The Supreme Court. So when you're not happy with your decisions in these lower courts, you can advance that and take it to the Supreme Court. But every single court, not only the courts, but even law enforcement, is subject to interpretation. So one person's interpretation of the law, and you see it all the time with judges and our judicial system, could be different than another person's interpretation. In the scriptures, you had many different groups. I say the word sex, but that sounds, you almost have to spell it, S-E-C-T-S. So we'll say groups. Different groups, and the law is very distinguished. Two of them that are very distinguished is the Sadducees and the Pharisees. They both lived under the law of Moses, but their interpretation of the Word of God was different, wasn't it? There's a little cute saying that I was taught a long time ago. You know, the Pharisees believed in angels. They believe in the resurrection. But the Sadducees, they don't believe in angels, spirits, or the resurrection. That's why they are Sadducee. A little corny. It works, right? But they interpreted the law differently. As a matter of fact, at one point in the book of Acts, Paul used their differences of interpretation to bring them against one another, and he escaped harm or death, whatever they were going to do to him. He had made some statements, and they began to fight and argue and strive with one another, and now Paul, he slips out the back door there. But even in our judicial system today, law is subject to interpretation. Now, if it was God interpreting it, that would be okay, but because it's man, we have a problem. When you talk about the difference between law and grace, that is, grace is God interpreting His Word. When you're walking in grace, you're walking in Jesus Christ, because grace comes by Jesus Christ. That's why it says the law came by Moses, but grace and truth. See, you could interpret the law falsely, and it wouldn't be the truth. To God, it's still the truth, but because of our interpretation, it is no longer the truth. It's our interpretation. But when you're walking in grace, it is always the truth. Why? Because God is giving you the interpretation. He is leading you. He is showing you what His Word says, what His Word means, what His Word does, how it applies in every situation. Grace covers all of that. And I love the grace of God. Not one of us would be here today without the grace of God. And when you're looking at what is grace, well, scripturally, Ephesians 2 and 8, "For by grace are you saved, it is the gift of God, not of works." How does it say? For we're saved by grace through faith, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So when you're talking about the works, you're trying to work your salvation out in the law by what you think the Bible, and we've all done it, every single one of us. But when you begin to receive, and you have to receive this gift from God, when you begin to receive the grace of God, it changes everything. Now in the grace of God, you know the truth. You're not in error. It's not a fallacy to you. You are walking in the mind of Christ. Jesus Christ Himself, Carrie, has come to you and given you a gift. But you know what's interesting about that? In the scripture I just quoted, it doesn't say it's a gift from God. Jennifer said it, it's the gift of God. And nothing happens, nothing works in God in truth without grace promoting it. So what is grace? It's the gift of God and not your works. Because you would boast if you could work it. Grace works the salvation of God. And now, even without the scriptures, what is grace? It is God being gracious to you and I. While we're in the flesh, while we're in this body, while He is raising us up, the grace of God is covering us so sin is not being imputed unto us. Now understand, yes, we've all sinned, and we've fallen short of the glory of God. There's not one, no, not one, that has not sinned. Not one, we read in on Wednesday, Psalms 14, "There's none that understandeth. There's none that doeth good. There's none righteous, no, not one." But when you're talking about receiving grace, you're talking about walking in the Spirit. And do you know the Bible says that grace is a spirit? So when the Spirit of grace comes to your spirit, you are united. You become one with God. And your sins are not being imputed unto. In other words, you are blessed. David said it, and then Paul said it, reiterated in Romans 4, "Blessed is the man in whom God imputeth not sin or iniquities." One of two things is going to be imputed unto you, just as Abraham. Abraham had faith. He's the father of all them which do believe. And Abraham took that faith. He believed the faith that God had given him, and God imputed it to him for righteousness. So if righteousness is being imputed unto you, then your sin is not. You can't mix the two together. You need to understand that. But while we are in these bodies, we are going to be made subject to all things. We're going to be made subject to the carnal mind, to death, hell, the grave, and to sin. Not to impute sin unto you, but that you might understand the error of our ways, the error that separated us from God. That's what sin is. Sin is the misperception of God. Grace is a repairer of the breach. Grace removes the misperception and brings you back into unity and oneness with God again. It's God covering you. It's Him taking care of you. It's Him protecting you. But if you really love sin enough and you want it bad enough, God will remove His grace from you. And He will separate Himself from you. And He will let you have the thing that you love. Remember in Revelation, the first church? They left their first love. We've said it many times and a lot recently. God's a gentleman. God's kind and God is merciful. He is not going to force you to love him. He is not going to force you to stay with him or to walk with him and to follow him. If you love something more than God, by the grace of God, God will continue to work with you, but there is a point in time. Not that God leaves you. He allows you to walk away from him. He allows it because we love these things so much. But by grace, we can stay in God with God. So when I'm thinking about grace, I'm thinking about, have you guys ever watched the movies where they talk about an ambassador goes to another country and they have diplomatic immunity? You know what that is? They're not subject to the law of that place at that time, are they? But the country they're from can retract their immunity, their diplomatic immunity. Now, what's so cool about this is, I don't know if you've ever looked at it like this before, but each and every one of us, as you understand God, as you mature in your walk with God, we need to realize that we are ambassadors of Christ. We're going to go to 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, and around the 5th verse here, I believe it is, we'll look. Paul talks about being an ambassador for Christ, that we are sent by God into another place, and the immunity we have is grace while you're in that place. Let me see here real quick. I want to give you a quick definition. An ambassador is an accredited diplomat sent by a country as its official representative to a foreign country. Does that describe Jesus Christ? It sure does, huh? Does it describe you? Have you ever thought about yourself being an ambassador for Christ? Because today, after today, you need to realize, yes, you are an ambassador of Christ with diplomatic immunity, with God's grace, with the immunity of God upon you while you're in this place called earth or the flesh, any of these things. Your sin is not being imputed unto you during this time. You have a covering. You have a promise. You have immunity, which is called the grace of God. Now let's go over here to, I believe it's 2 Corinthians 5. 2 Corinthians 5 and 17. Paul says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. So when you're in Christ, there's some new things that begin to develop in your life, isn't it? Like today, you realize I'm an ambassador from a land called heaven, sent to the earth with diplomatic immunity called the grace of God, while I walk with God, and God raises me up in him to walk in the stature of a fullness of a man in Christ Jesus. Isn't that the coolest thing ever? You have purpose here today. God predestined who each and every one of us are here today in him. But notice it said, in Christ Jesus. So it's in him where we have this power. And when I say power, there's few scriptures. Acts, the 4th chapter, the apostles, it says that when they testified of God, there was great grace upon them. It says they also walked in great power. So the grace of God is the power of God in your life. You know what it is? If you was to have a car and you didn't have gasoline, that car wouldn't do anything, but you could look at it. Oh, it's pretty. It's beautiful. But it ain't going to get me anywhere. That's faith without the grace of God. The grace of God is the gasoline that goes on the fire or that goes in the car that drives the faith. Are you with me? It's the power. And they work together. For grace are you saved through faith. It is a gift of God. So God gives you the vessel or the car, the faith, and then he fuels it for you too. And then you get to start working the works of God, because all the works of God are done with this type of power in your life, working in the Holy Ghost. Now, verse 18. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ. Now, I want to throw something in here real quick that we mentioned on Wednesday night. It's definitely worth talking about. An ambassador, it says, is sent from another country, from one country to a foreign country, right? And it talks about us, Daryl, being aliens here in this country. Ambassadors for Christ in this place, while God is working his wonderful works with us. But it says, we said an ambassador is sent to that place. On Wednesday night, I talked about what it means to be sent. And in Romans, the 10th chapter, it says you can't believe without hearing, you can't hear without a preacher, and a preacher can't preach except he be sent. Thank God that we have Jesus Christ. He is the sent preacher. But Jesus also has a very distinguished work that he works when a disciple comes to him. And that is to raise that disciple up to an apostle and to send him out working the works of God with the gift of grace. What we brought out on Wednesday is the fact that there's more than one type of send. As a matter of fact, when Jesus was talking about John the Baptist, he said he had greater witness than John. John was sent to bear witness of Jesus. Jesus was sent to raise up the apostles, to send them out as ambassadors, and to reconcile the world unto God through their works. And what we brought out is, I believe it's John 6, 44, 45, right around there. Jesus said, no man can come unto me except my Father draw him. He said in another place that I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. No man can come unto the Father but by me, he said. So let's look at this real quick. You can't come to Jesus unless the Father draws you. You can't come to the Father except through Jesus Christ himself. He is the way, he is the truth, he is the life. But have you ever looked at it in the light, in this manner, in this light? That because your Father in heaven is drawing you to Jesus so he can raise you up as a disciple and send you out in an apostolic ministry, before any of that happens, your Father in heaven sends you to Jesus Christ. That's what the draw is. It's a send. He uses desire to send you. You start noticing, wait a minute, I'm having a different desire here. I really want to know God. I want to know who he is, what he does. I want to start going to church. I want to start reading the Bible. Then as you really get the draw in your life, I want to do anything and everything I can for God. Many of you are shaking your head because that's exactly how it worked for you. Well, let me tell you, you have been sent to Jesus Christ. And the first thing Jesus says to you is follow me. Why? Why follow me? Because I'm the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life, and no man can come unto the Father but by me. So you get a send, a draw, sent to Jesus with the intent and the purpose that the Word of God, which is Jesus, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God, with the intent that when you begin to follow him, he is going to teach you how to come after him, how to be in him, how to use this grace that's been bestowed upon your life in righteousness, and how to, we see, when you first come to the Word of God, we don't really understand a whole lot, do we? We just know there's something in my heart that I've got to do differently. I need to know the Lord, and I'm going to serve the Lord. So when you first come to God, it's like a little bitty child. You know, it's the darndest thing. We are working on a duplex we purchased in Exeter, and the family that we're going to rent to, we're showing them the house yesterday, and it's a husband, a wife, two little girls, and his 45-year-old wife just had a three-month-old. Well, Christy, I'm not going to tell on her, but it's pretty close to that age, so she was telling me, could you imagine? But I said a couple words to him about that little boy, and he's like, hey, he's 3 months old. He's wearing, what, nine-month-old clothes. He took that baby, walked right over, and gave him to me. Here I am, smack dab in the middle of COVID-19 pandemic, holding this little boy. Ah, yeah, you know? But it was the words I said to him that caused him to trust me enough to bring a three-month-old, put him in my arms, and let me hold that little guy. Isn't that something? That's how we are, Taylor, when we come to God. We're like a three-month-old. That little boy, he can't feed himself. He can't, unless somebody does it for him, he can't drink by himself. He can't clothe himself, bathe himself, nothing. You're totally dependent upon the parents to do that. It's the same thing with Jesus Christ. When we first come to God, we come to him by the grace of God. And Jesus entreats us and gives us an invitation to follow him. At that very second, grace has already been working, but at that very second that you begin to realize the purpose of God and why Jesus Christ has called you to him, you begin to hopefully understand and experience what the grace of God really is about. The only reason you do not is because you're operating the mindset of law. You're in the flesh. The mindset of law is trying to work salvation out without Jesus. But you say, I'm doing it through the Word. The Word is the law, right? Yes, it is. And the Word without the Spirit, it's dead, the Bible says. The Word without the Spirit is dead. So what do we have to have? A Word with the grace that performs works. Faith without works is dead, being alone. See what I mean? So when we begin our walk with God, our Father sends us to the Word. The Word begins to speak by the Spirit. Do you guys understand that terminology? Do you speak Spirit to people when you talk to them? Are the words that you carry with inside of your being, are they Spirit? Jesus said in John 6 and 63, the flesh profiteth nothing. It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The words that I speak into you, they are Spirit and they are life. So if you're hearing me today, and I've been sent by God, and I have, to speak the things he gives me, when I speak to each and every one of you, everyone that's hearing my voice, I'm speaking the Spirit to you. I'm speaking the Spirit from the Holy Ghost. When the Bible talks about the apostles, they preached the gospel with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven. So when you have an individual, this was awesome last week with Tim, talking about a father. When you have an individual that has been sent by Jesus Christ himself, he's already received the draw of God. He's already was sent to the Word. And then the Word raised him up and then sent him as an ambassador. Those words that you are speaking, they're Spirit. If a person can hear those words, hear you speak the Spirit, now that person is being led by the Spirit. And they that are led of the Spirit, who are they? So Jesus is the Son of God, isn't he? His words that he speaks to you are there to create and make you a son of God in him. Isn't that the greatest thing ever? And everything I'm talking to you about works by the grace of God. Isn't that the coolest thing? Now, real quick, some of you are going through things you don't understand. I'm going to teach you something here real quick before I close, and I pray that it brings an understanding to you and it settles your heart, that you have peace and you understand why you're going through these things. All right? I could look at the scriptures. I'll paraphrase it. You look at them when you get a chance, okay? You know, 2 Corinthians 12, Paul started talking about it. He said, doubtless I'll come to visions and revelations of the Lord, right? He talked about knowing a man above 14 years ago, whether in the body or out of the body. He said, such a one was caught up to heaven, to paradise, and heard words that were not lawful to speak. You can interpret that however you want to. How's that? We can talk about it anytime you'd also like to. But Paul goes on to say that he prayed to the Lord three times. You know what he prayed to God about? A messenger of Satan had been given to him, called a thorn in his flesh. For what? To buffet him. So, I mean, if you think about it right now, if I asked you, what could God do for you? What do you want from God today? And you'd start naming it off. I want to love God. I want the peace, the joy. I said, well, how about instead of that, I give you a messenger of Satan to buffet you? Is that okay? You probably would not like that trade, like that idea a whole lot. You know what I mean? But if you understood why a messenger of Satan was given to you to buffet you, like Paul did, Paul prayed to the Lord thrice that this thing would depart from him. And then he understood, like you're getting ready to right now. This was given to me that I would not be exalted above measure. Why? Because God has given me so much revelation. I've seen so many visions. And the grace of God is upon me in such a great and mighty way that God loves me so much, he's going to keep me humble. And what was the word to Paul? What was the answer to his prayer? My grace is sufficient for thee. I've allowed this to happen to you. Watch this. This is one step farther, though. Paul went through those things, Tim, and didn't want it at first until he understood there was a purpose in it. You know what Paul did with this experience of the messenger of Satan sent to him to buffet him? He preached it, Tristan said. But you know what else he did? He embraced it. He understood it. And then he worked it in the power of God. Well, what do you mean? One place in the scripture, it's in the book of Corinthians. It's where a man took his father's wife. And Paul was addressing them and saying, you know, even though I wasn't there, I was there in spirit. I've already judged this matter. He said, I've turned this man that took his father's wife over to Satan. You know what? Where is that, Walker? I'm going to read it. It's either 1 or 2 Corinthians 5. Yeah, it's 1 Corinthians 5 and 5. Check this out. How did Paul have power to use Satan as his servant? You say, did he? Watch. Watch closely here. Verse 5. To deliver such a one. Now, who are we talking about? The guy that took his father's wife, which was not even named so much among the Gentiles. To deliver such a one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh. Whoa, whoa, whoa. What do you mean? Why is Satan there? For the destruction of the flesh. Did you hear me? To deliver such a one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit might be saved in the day of our Lord Jesus. Did you hear that? Why did Paul have a thorn in his flesh? That his spirit might be saved in the day of Jesus Christ. Paul took his experience like we should be doing right now, and he used it for righteousness. He took his experience, what God worked in his life, and he worked the works of God by the grace of God in it. But listen, he had to experience it. Some of the things you're experiencing right now, you may not feel real comfortable. You may not like a whole lot. But understand that the grace of God is upon you, and God is going to take that grace and he's going to turn and give you the power to work salvation. To even use Satan, like in the book of Job. Huh? There was a day when the sons of God, Tim, come and presented themselves before the Lord. You guys remember that message? I still love it. We called it, and Satan comes also. God called Job perfect, but there was still flesh that needed to be destroyed, huh? So he entreats Satan, have you considered my servant Job? a perfect man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil. So with all this stuff going on, and this is to each and every one of you here, listen to me closely. Satan's working in your lives at times. There's a purpose for it. When Satan's working in your life, how does God see you, Taylor? How does God see you, Talon? In his eyes, you're perfect. You see, but man, oh man, God's going to destroy the whole earth. And he's told me to build an ark. He's going to flood. Grace goes all the way back. It's actually from the beginning, but the first mention of it is with Noah. Huh? God entreats him to build an ark because he was going to destroy all flesh. Genesis 6, all flesh had become wicked in his sight, Daryl. And God commissions a man named Noah. How? By grace. The Bible says that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. What did he do with that grace? 8 souls were saved alive by water. See what the grace does? It's the promotion of salvation. It's what causes faith to be with works. It's what's in yours and my life right now that's teaching us there's a reason and a purpose you're experiencing what you're experiencing. Because when you come through it, you're going to have power over it. How about Alexander and Hymenaeus? What were they doing? They were blaspheming. So Paul said, I have turned them. See what happened to him? He learned how to use it. Jennifer, is that how you become a teacher? Were you first a student? Didn't you love all that hard work getting that master's degree? How long have you been teaching? 26 years. I'll bet you learn more in the 26 years of working hands-on, Bryce, how many years? As a teacher, 4. Than all that teaching of that master. She's shaking her head, yes, for sure. But you had to go and be a pupil, a student, or a disciple to learn these things before you're sent out to use the power of what these things are given to us. So he said, the only reason Paul could do this is because it first happened to him. Is it okay if God uses you to speak words of salvation to people, Carrie? Is that all right? Is it all right if God draws individuals like my aunt Diane here today to people like me so I can speak the Spirit to her and my uncle Jim so we can live in eternity? Is that okay? That whole thing is the grace of God. My aunt Diane came to me one day and she looked me right in the eyes and she helped me and she said, I know why we're here. God brought us here to believe that we believe. My uncle, bless his heart, has passed, but he believed. And you know what? He's still believing today by the grace of God. So what you're going through here today, I'm going to close with this. There's a lot more to say, but I'm going to close. What you're going through, instead of trying to run, instead of trying to hide, how about if you have to pray 3 times like Paul did, that's fine. But how about, Jennifer, embracing it? How about realizing the purpose of God in it? And the purpose is to save your spirit. And the purpose is to keep you from blaspheming the Holy Ghost. And you're going through it because you're going to use it. Because God has plans for each and every one of us. And let me just tell you, you're in the Master's hands. He's the potter, and we're the clay. There is no unrighteousness in him. So instead of saying, why have you made me this way? Is there unrighteousness in God? God forbid. Understand, get your word of God. And this is what I'm going to leave you with here today. This is the word of the Lord to each and every one of you. Because God gave it to me. My grace is sufficient for you. His grace is sufficient for you. Receive it. Tap into it. Walk in it. And watch the great and mighty power of God begin to manifest in your lives.